You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. I'd be so excited to see a Charlie Sheen movie.
Yeah, right? This had 100% less naked Charlie Sheen in a bathtub than I expected.
No, we're not talking about The Arrival.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, although I kind of have a soft spot in my heart for the first one.
Okay, you say the first one as if this is a sequel, which is really going to confuse people.
No. I mean, there was a sequel to Charlie Sheen's The Arrival.
There was?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
That's because no one watched it.
It's Species 2.
Yeah, it's the Species right? 2 of the Arrival series.
And Broken Brains, which is a good lead-in for us reviewing this movie, because it definitely broke my brain a little bit.
It doesn't seem almost appropriate, despite the necessity of that joke, to compare it in any way, shape, or form to The Arrival, when this is really... it's going to be a Best Picture nominee this year.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I also love that you said the necessity of that joke.
Oh, it had to happen.
Because that means that we feel an obligation to the listener to make terrible puns.
I thought that was always our raison d'etre.
It is. It is our, as the French translation would be, a raisin in the etre.
Yeah.
That's yeah. I speak French.
Wow. Then I've totally been misusing it all these years.
I'm a linguist, very much like Amy Adams in this movie. I'm a cunning linguist, you might say.
Yeah, Amy Adams going for the Best Actress Oscar this year in a very remarkable way, playing a top linguist who can speak about anything and is great at the analysis of languages, which is why when the aliens come in their half-ovoid...
speaking of raisins.
Onyx spaceship thingies.
When the what do you call them, from 2001 start landing on Earth, the monoliths all over the world. She is called in, along with Ian Malcolm. Dr. Ian, played by Jeremy Renner, who is pretty much just Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park, right down to the fact that he is named Ian.
Less stuttering, though.
Less stuttering, but I swear they introduce him as a mathematician, and I swear to God I was waiting for the line, a chaotician.
Chaotician. Aliens find a way.
Chaotician reigns.
But the question is, to Earth, what the fuck's going on? Because these things are landing all over the planet, and not really landing, but floating like 20 feet above the ground with no visible means of support.
Which is a really stunning visual.
Yeah.
Just this thing that hovers above the ground but doesn't disturb the ground around it, has no emissions, has no lights. It is just a stone, which is, I think, not at all an accidental metaphor for what's going on in this movie, which is the very practical exploration of how you establish communication. Like, the process of that. Like, it's not just... You know, we've had Close Encounters of the Third Kind where they discover the music somehow, you know, correlates. But this is about what that process would actually feel like. And it feels so immersed in the science of linguistics and the science of communication and looking for patterns. And it's just like... It is brilliant sci-fi just on that alone.
It's the joy of discovery along with these characters as they have breakthroughs. And a key line in this film is that early on they're talking about, like, when you learn a different language, they say it actually creates new pathways in your brain.
Because you think in the language that you speak.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's kind of about these people starting to learn more about the universe around them and how, hey, humans aren't all that special. By realizing there's this alien race that is not a Roddenberry alien.
No.
These are, like, a...
These are definite Villeneuve aliens.
It's like if the monsters at the end of The Mist were intelligent and possibly kind.
I think it is just another excuse for Denis Villeneuve to make spiders.
Yeah?
I think that guy's fucking obsessed
just
with spiders.
Got a spider thing.
If you tell me that at the beginning of this movie, when you first see these things, your first thought wasn't, that kind of looks like a spider.
I thought I would like some calamari.
Well, there you go. Yeah. It's a seven, they call them septopods.
Yeah.
And then there's even a scene where one kind of shows up in sort of a visual, and not really a dream sequence, it's hard to explain, but just kind of outside of the thing. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me so much of that shot in Enemy where the spider is in the room just kind of turns around.
Yeah, I guess.
I think that guy's obsessed with spiders. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
He thinks the universe speaks spider.
But, you know, as much as this is a very hard sci-fi film, like, and the text of the film is that understanding this language and it's that scientific clinical. Process. The subtext has to deal, which is very still on the surface, has to do more with the fact that every country in the world pretty much is, at least at first, communicating as much as their politics will let them, mm-hmm. and some not at all, like China and Russia, yeah. about what they found and what they're discovering, and sort of that this overcoming difficulties in cultural understanding with the aliens is definitely what we're really talking about here in terms of just our own planet. And, you know, really, there's got to, if we can talk to aliens, I'm pretty sure we can figure out how to talk to each other.
Yeah, and on top of that, the idea that language communicates more than words. Mm-hmm. And that is something I've never seen that kind of concept in a story before, where words, the language that these aliens are speaking aren't just communicating words or thoughts. There is a very specific action and a very specific understanding of the entire universe and how it functions in their language.
Now, if that sounds like a high-level smarty pants shit, well, that's because it is.
This it movie is.
Doesn't make many concessions towards people who just want to see Independence Day resurgence.
Oh, no. This is Independence Day if we had done the right thing. Or yes. if the aliens weren't hell-bent on destroying us.
Yeah, true.
You know, if everybody's hearts were in the right
place.
There
probably wouldn't be a big discussion about the language of the aliens if they had set out by destroying the White House.
That's true. Yeah, they kind of drew first blood on that one. But I will say this. The other thing about this movie that I think keeps it from being, precludes the idea of labeling it as hoity-toity, pretentious sci-fi, is that it does what every great sci-fi story is supposed to do, which is using science, using something clinical, using something even mathematic, to get at the heart of what connects us as people. And the emotional subtext of this movie is gut-wrenching.
Oh, yeah. When you really understand what you're seeing in this film on that level, which isn't towards the very end, pretty much, mm-hmm. It is such a just absolute gut punch. It's both beautiful and melancholy and even kind of, I don't know, hurtful in a weird sort of way.
It's painful. It's hard to, I'm going to basically say this, and it's going to sound like nonsense because there's no spoiler attached to it, but this movie pulls off the rarest combination of things I've ever seen, which is that it is simultaneously bleak and hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how that's even fucking possible, but it is the bleakest and most hopeful science fiction movie I've seen ever.
I couldn't agree more. And I will say, I kept saying this when describing it. I was like, you know how Interstellar and Contact both tried to do the hard sci-fi thing and about sort of communicating with anything that's out there and have a heart at the same time, but the heart humanity part didn't really stick the landing? This does exactly right in the same way that they did what they did exactly wrong.
Well, it's not saccharine and it's not egoistic. Like, yeah. Those movies are, I like those movies a lot, mm-hmm. but they are very egoistic. They take basically the entire fate of the universe, the entire drive of the universe, and they narrow it down to one person, as if literally the universe revolves around them.
Or even one race.
Or one
humanity,
race.
Yeah.
This is different. There is a very clear reason why the people who are at the center of this story are at the center of it, and it has ramifications that go way beyond their personal lives. And I think that's the difference, and I think that's what makes this movie so emotionally impactful, and at the same time, you cheer and bleed for these people at the same time.
Now, keep in mind, folks, as I mentioned earlier, for you Independence Day fans, this is not that kind of sci-fi. No. If you're going into a film hoping there's going to be like lots of action and like a suspense in the normal sense, mm-hmm. then this is not going to be a movie that's for you. This is definitely a very smart film that is about the thrill of the intellectualism of it, but balanced by having such an interesting and almost the emotional content is almost the twist.
Yeah.
towards the end, you know.
Yeah.
It's just got almost a purity to it and beauty that now I'm like, I guess he can make Blade Runner, too.
Yeah, I mean, I am very hot and cold on this particular filmmaker, and I still don't know. Like, I feel like I need a linguist to tell me what the hell Enemy's about.
Yeah.
But I will say, yeah, there is... when he really digs into science fiction and makes something like this, this is the best movie I've seen at this festival.
Oh, yeah.
It may not be my favorite movie of the festival, just because rewatching this is going to dig into further parts of my soul that I'm maybe not comfortable having a movie dig into. But it is categorically the best. It is a gorgeous, gorgeous film to look at.
Maybe my favorite film this year. Still got a little of this year left. It's definitely in competition for the number one spot. And now everyone who's got best 100 best sci-fi movies of all time posts are going to have to go back and update them.
Yeah,
because if it's not on that top 100 list, you've done something wrong.
I feel it's one of those movies too. As somebody who likes to write, that just makes you want to stop. You know what I mean? When you look at this and you think somebody came up with this idea, with this amount of complexity, this amount of emotional resonance, and this amount of brilliant execution. The fuck am I doing? I'm doing. Let's back it up, guys. Good game, all the writers. We're done here.
Well, it's funny. Somebody actually said to me earlier about it. It makes me want to go home and write. I was like, really? Because it had the exact opposite effect on me. When I see, like, you know, one of the fun horror films at the fest, those make me want to go write.
Yeah.
Right? I'm like, oh, I could do that.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah, not this.
I couldn't do this.
I couldn't touch a 16th of what this movie is going. And there's just, and that's not... That's not the movie's fault. I'm not trying to slide it for that, but it is one of those things that it's devastating on a lot of levels.
Solid performances all around. Like mentioned, Amy Adams specifically really, really makes it work with the exact right amount of emotion when necessary, but most of the time she's just absolutely fascinated, as you would imagine you would be as a linguist in that scenario.
Every choice she makes is the correct one, and you realize that after the whole, all the curtains are pulled back, and you realize every single acting choice she made in this was the right one.
Yeah, Jeremy Renner is definitely a very distant second leading role in this. I mean, he's in it a lot, but he is a supporting character.
And he has to be. That's the thing. He absolutely has to be for this movie to work.
And then you have Forest Whitaker.
Okay, the only complaint I could possibly have about this movie, what the fuck is Forest Whitaker's accent? What accent? Is it supposed to be New York?
I wasn't clear
on
that either.
Chicago?
Boston?
Why do you have to have an accent at all?
Yeah, it seemed like it was a pointless add-on.
Which, like, the whole movie's about the purity of language and, like, the integrity of communication. And I'm like, so to then have a character who botches a fucking accent that's not necessary in the first place seems counterintuitive.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He's like their liaison to the military, basically.
And that's, I mean, and those characters are also very vital to building the suspense of this movie and the tension and like the ticking clock.
They're trying to keep basically the rest of the world from trying to blow these things up. It's like, hey, we're talking over here.
Yeah, but it's very much that idea of like if you gave everybody the Rosetta Stone, you gave like different groups of people the same message, what would they all come to the same interpretation? And this movie kind of categorically proves no. Like they would come to vastly different
because it's filtered to their cultural understanding.
Yeah, and again, that's the movie touches on that by saying you think in the language you speak.
Yeah, I absolutely love this.
I did too.
And I think it's one of the best films this year, one of the best sci-fi films ever made. I am going to give it 10 out of 10 floating obelisks.
Yeah, I'm trying to...
Technically, they're half ovoids, but whatever.
Sure. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a reason not to give this a 10, just to satisfy myself that I'm not overreacting. But, I mean, apart from a very minor complaint about a character's accent, I can't think of a flaw. I really can't think of a flaw with this movie. So, I mean, I guess I would have to go with 10 as well. 10 out of 10 Frisbees that you left on the radiator too long, so they sort of half-melted, and then they landed on Earth in 12 very strategic points.
Yeah, well, I changed my arbitrary review to 10 out of 10 completely soaked critic Kleenexes in the movie theater.
Oh, my God, you will cry.
Because everybody in that theater, people I know who are total hard-asses, were, like, just pouring out to you in the last, like, 30 minutes. Yeah, I was crying almost in the beginning, just like, they're aliens and they're here and they want to be nice to us, maybe.
For a change.
Yeah.
Oh, and one other thing we didn't even mention... The fucking score of this movie
so great.
Is these weird, otherworldly, dissonant tones. It's very unnerving.
Yeah.
It is perfect for this movie because it sounds like music written by an alien.
Yeah.
And yet it's compelling and unsettling at the same time.
Yep. This is top-notch, folks. So
top-notch.
Take mine and Brian Salisbury's word for it. This is what you should be going to see as soon as it comes out, which I guess is in like 2 weeks or something?
Yeah. Yeah, no matter what language you speak, go see this fucking
thing. Yeah, go. It's one of those you can bring the whole family. Well, maybe not the little kids, because they'll be like, I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah. That's true.